Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, look out, Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels' pro day yesterday had people talking. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, Caleb Williams is the presumed number one overall pick. Bears seem like they're in love. However, you got to pay attention because Jaden Daniels is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Fantastic talent. I know you're super high on Jaden Daniels.
Love Jaden Daniels.
And you're not the only one. So here was Lewis Riddick, who was talking on ESPN Radio yesterday, who was at Jaden Daniels' pro day. And Lewis Riddick is not just a talking head, a former front office executive who is tasked with scouting talent for NFL teams.
Jaden Daniels, there's no question that he is in the mix still, regardless of what you hear, to be the number one quarterback taken and maybe the first player overall. This is a young man who has athleticism. He has the power to drive the football. He has the touch and accuracy to throw the football at all three levels of the football field. And to boot, he is a fantastic young man when you talk to him, which is something that all franchise quarterbacks have to be.
Okay, so that was Lewis Riddick, and he was blown away by Jaden Daniels' pro day. And listen, He's a professional here, so, and again, he's been in a front office, so he knows that pro days are set up to make quarterbacks look good. He understands that, you know, you always run the fastest at your pro day, and you always look the best at your pro day. And I think he is clearly intelligent enough to see through the home field advantage that you get of being at your home school. And he's still saying that he should be in the mix for the number one overall pick. That seems crazy to me.
Well, actually, he didn't say should. He said he is.
He is, right.
Which is surprising to me because I heard Matt Eberflus, the Bears coach, at the owners meeting talk about how they're already working on install with Caleb Williams. So that's why I can't take that seriously, because the Bears are telling you without telling you they're taking Caleb Williams. Now, here's the thing. It was a 20-minute workout yesterday. I think Riddick is obviously an experienced guy. He was going off the tape, and the tape is insane with Jaden Daniels. In any other year, to me, he's a surefire number one pick, but not this year.
Right.
Caleb Williams is so special. It's unbelievable that there's no way the Bears could do that. I don't think that's a real thing. Now, the big question is, Jaden Daniels definitely number two? You have Drake May and J.J. McCarthy now floating around. There was this report the other day that the Washington really likes J.J. McCarthy.
And they're picking second.
I don't buy it. I think the fact that Jaden Daniels, one thing that mattered is pro day, he weighed 210 pounds. And that's good enough. 6'3", 210. The only worry about him is he's too small, can't last in the NFL. 210 is fine. And he could put on weight from there, just like Lamar Jackson did. I think Jaden Daniels is everything. I think Washington fans, if they get him, should be so excited.
All right. So if you and I are not exactly buying that the Bears are going to reverse course here and go away from Caleb Williams and go to Jaden Daniels, who do you think is going to have the better rookie season? Because I'll tell you, I think it's going to be Caleb. If Caleb goes to the Bears and Jaden Daniels goes number two to the Washington Commanders, I think Caleb Williams is set up really, really well. Now, the division is not easy. In the NFC North, you're going to have some major contenders with the Lions and the Packers. We'll see what happens with the Vikings. But I think this Chicago team, I'm not a huge fan of the coach, but I'm a big fan of the roster. And I think they have the type of weapons on offense and the type of stifling defense that are all the things that can help a rookie quarterback shine. And I think Caleb Williams is going to look really good straight away.
Well, you know, one thing about the division, you might get some shootouts because Detroit scores a lot. Minnesota can score a lot. So maybe Caleb gets better numbers, where Jaden Daniels is going to probably have a much easier schedule in the NFC East. But, man, I love his weapons. He's got, I mean, look at this. They got Austin Ekeler in the offseason, who's the ultimate screen weapon. They got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. Love that. And they signed Zach Ertz. Fine. Good safety. Safety valve. He's fine. I mean,
he's a little old.
But I love McLaurin and Dotson. I think that's better than DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and maybe a rookie there in Chicago.
Oh, disagree.
I mean, Keenan
McLaurin
Allen
is really good. I'll give you that. But, I mean, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, if Keenan Allen's healthy, that's awesome.
32-year-old Keenan Allen. I love McLaurin and Dotson. I think they're really good. Also, too, I just think Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a much more wide-open offense coordinator in Washington. Shane Waldron's pretty good. Had great numbers with Geno. But Cliff Kingsbury, not a great head coach. The guy could get some yards on the ground. He turned Kyler Murray into a stats machine. I think he's going to be great with Jaden Daniels. I don't think they win a ton of games, but I think that Jaden Daniels has a very nice rookie season.
You had said a couple weeks ago you thought that Jaden Daniels is going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
If it is number two to the Washington Commanders, you're still on that opinion?
I like that. And I imagine it'll be Caleb will be the favorite, and you can get a little bit of value betting Jaden Daniels. Also, I believe Jaden Daniels is 23. So that he's almost like a veteran. It gives him such a huge advantage right there that kind of like Joe Burrow coming to the league. He's much more experienced. I mean, listen, you're going to have Penix. Penix, I'd go, honestly, I think Penix has a great chance to be Rookie of the Year, too, if he could get the starting job. These older guys going to better situations. Chicago's still not a great situation. I know you love DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
I do.
But you can't ignore the history. You can't ignore the fact that you have a defensive head coach. Guy at Washington does, too. But regardless, I just think that you can't all of a sudden assume that Chicago is going to redefine themselves as this electric offense. Does anything in the history of the Chicago Bears say that to you? The monsters of the Midway?
I think this is the new generation. Like, this is the new, this is the stake in the grass moment where they have to change because you can't blow this shot. And nobody is going to blame Caleb Williams if things go poorly in the first year. Everyone else is going to get blamed. So there has to be this 100% investment, and there is, that things are going to be set up really perfectly for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will take care of the rest. You know, we don't come across these like, you know, oh, generational talent. I know people say, oh, you know, the media, you guys overuse this. Do we? Not really. Sometimes we don't call the people who should be generational talents, like Joe Burrow probably is. We probably should have given him that name.
Well, we didn't know.
Right. Let's see about Trevor Lawrence. That story is not done.
Right.
Andrew Luck was really great until he decided to retire and got a lot of injuries and retired.
But generational talent should maybe be withheld for LeBron James's of the world, like surefire, real like Hall of Famers.
I think Andrew Luck was on a Hall of Fame track.
Yeah, probably. But he is definitely not one of the Mount Rushmore Hall of Famers of his era.
He hung it up after 6 years.
Yeah, and he never stayed healthy even when he was out there. And Trevor Lawrence certainly doesn't seem like he's on the Hall of Fame trajectory in any way. So, no, I do think the recent track record on generational is not great. I think Caleb is a better prospect than Trevor. Because Trevor, remember we talked to Greg Cosell at one point, and he's a long strider. He's a really good quarterback. Caleb is the new breed. He's Patrick Mahomes. Whereas Trevor Lawrence feels old school to me. Oops. Sorry, that's my parking alarm there.
855-212-4CBS.
Feed the meter.
So we're talking about the fantastic pro day yesterday from Jaden Daniels and how it made at least one former front office executive and Lewis Riddick go on ESPN Radio yesterday and say Jaden Daniels is still in the mix for the number one overall pick. Like, this hasn't all been written yet that it's going to be Caleb Williams. Going to respectfully disagree. Going to respectfully disagree that that's the way it should be. And maybe I'll get proven wrong here, but I think the order is correct. I think Caleb and then Jaden Daniels is the correct order. Now, after that, as far as how they're going to pan out, after that, I think it's probably going to be, if we're talking about who's going to actually have the best career after that, I think it's Penix if he's healthy. So if we're going in terms of like talent and who I want to see and how successful I think they're going to be, I think it's going to be Caleb, Jaden, and then Penix. I'm sorry about the J.J. McCarthy. I can't get there yet.
I think where we really disagree is I think there's four hits in this first round. Yeah. I think
never works that way.
Definitely have one with Caleb. Yeah, well, it has worked that way. I mean, what was the Baker, Josh Allen, Lamar was three hits. I mean,
you think Baker has lived up to being the number one overall pick?
I mean, maybe not, but generally, though, at least you get three Pro Bowl level quarterbacks, guys who can at least make the Pro Bowl. I think you're getting a big hit with Caleb. You're getting a big hit with Jaden. I agree. I love Penix. I think he's going to be hit. And I think Drake May has a great chance to be a big hit. I think we're forgetting about him. His pro day is today. Wait till tomorrow. We come in with all the Drake May hype. The one I don't get is J.J. McCarthy. I don't understand that at all. And then Bo Nix, by the way. Bo Nix gets hooked up with Sean Payton. I mean, I think he's going to have really good numbers, too. I think it's going to be one of the great quarterback classes. I think we're talking, it's stretch to say 83, the John Elway draft. But I tell you, I think Caleb's going to be a star and Jaden's a star. So it's going to be one of the top five quarterback classes of all time. I don't even think that's a stretch. There aren't that many great quarterback classes. Usually it's spread out. We're probably going to have a record number taken in the top 10. It's coming, Maggie.
There's also some stakes on this show, as we like to up the ante around here. On the first round, this is a Perloff versus EJ bet that if more than 4.5 quarterbacks go in the first round, then EJ loses. If fewer than 4.5 quarterbacks go in the first round, Perloff loses. The loser has to run gassers with Pete Bellotti holding the whistle.
Get him up.
Do you realize you guys, we're talking about eating Raising Cane's because we're finally all going to eat Raising Cane's tomorrow because they opened up a place in New York. Don't eat the Raising Cane's before Pete Bellotti puts you on the gassers.
Well,
you guys are
going to
be puking your guts out.
No, it's going to be all water. It's going to be all water. That's it. Just water. Just stay hydrated.
Even that could cause problems. By the way, there are a lot of mock drafts coming out with a lot of quarterbacks on there, EJ. Does it make you nervous?
I mean, I feel like if we did odds on them, you probably have the favorite odds.
Yeah, there is odds. It's set at 4.5, and it's -260 now.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely in the driver's seat, but I'm not moving. I feel good. I still feel like the Penix and someone taking the flyer on Penix and Bo Nix in the first round. I gotta see him do it.
So Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, just came out with a mock draft, and he got 5 in there. He put Penix at 13 to the Raiders, but he dropped Bo Nix out, which makes me nervous.
A lot. I'm seeing. It's rare I'm seeing the 6 number, which that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
If I started seeing 6 all the time, I'd be like, I'm cooked.
But here's what makes me
only 5.
But here's what makes me feel good. Everybody's talking about, well, we got to get Bo Nix in the second round. So if 20 teams want Bo Nix in the second round,
someone's going to trade up into the first.
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
Quarterbacks always get moved up. And again, we're talking about the LSU Pro Day yesterday. Jaden Daniels shows out, and it led at least one former front office executive in Lewis Riddick to say he's still in the mix for the number one overall pick. That's how impressive he was. Got us talking about how many quarterbacks, will be taken in the first round of the draft.
I remember I was watching LSU Ole Miss, 51-49 game. Great shootout. Shredding Ole Miss doesn't prove anything. But in the middle of the game, Dusty Dvorak, the college football announcer, said he's talked to people around college football that Jaden Daniels is the best player in the sport. And he is the number one NFL prospect. He said this in September. Nobody had Jaden Daniels in the first 3 rounds of any mock, but it was eye-popping. The Alabama game, to me, the one he got hurt. Have you ever seen anybody do that to Alabama, what he was doing? He's more generational in some senses. The fact that he has this running ability and this passing ability. He's like Lamar Jackson with a more traditional throwing style than Lamar Jackson. It's all there. I'm not sure what the downside is. So Lewis Riddick does make interesting points.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you think about this. If Jaden Daniels, let's keep it to the rookie year for now. I want to do career, but I'll keep it rookie for now. If he outplays Caleb Williams next season,
yeah.
is that a disappointment for Caleb Williams?
So I would go, because of what Maggie said, RG3 outplayed Andrew Luck his rookie season. Nobody was disappointed in Andrew Luck. And yeah, last year was a little different. CJ Stroud outplayed Bryce Young, but Bryce Young was terrible. But I think you could be okay. I think if they're both good and Caleb shows nice signs, I don't think they're going to compare the two.
Huge disappointment.
Mm.
Huge.
Was Luck a disappointment?
No, well, Luck ended up having the better career because Washington ruined RG3.
But you're talking about 1 year. RG3 was way better than Luck his rookie year. RG3 was one of the best quarterbacks in the league instantly.
Oh, I know. I think that it will be bad for Caleb. Yeah. I mean, listen, if Caleb... Yeah, I think it's... Here's why. Because, like, Bryce Young didn't play well. He also went to a terrible team. Caleb Williams is not going to a terrible team.
Ooh, no, no, no.
He is not. It's
He's
just
going to the
fact.
Bears. Nobody expects a Bears quarterback to do anything. The bar is somewhat low because of that team.
Oh, I don't think so. They made the moves. The Keenan Allen, whatever you think about them, they did make the moves. The Keenan Allen, the trade last year for Sweat totally changed their defense. The re-signing of the Jalen Johnson. Like, they have made moves, the Bears have. This is not your typical crappy coming off a 3-win season that you get the number one overall pick team. So, yeah, I think that there's expectations right away. And if Jaden Daniels massively outplays Caleb Williams, definitely it's going to be a disappointment.
Well, what about just outplays?
What are we talking about?
Well, let's say that Jaden Daniels has a C.J. Stroud-like year. And then let's say Caleb Williams throws 20 touchdowns, 13 picks, and 4,000 yards. Then people are going to see growth. I disagree with the expectations. I mean, Justin Fields is like the fourth leading passer in Bears history. There's no history going on. They've been the worst passing offense in the league for a long, long time. To all of a sudden expect them to be the Chiefs next year, that seems ridiculous to me.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in on this. Coming up, changes afoot for LeBron James and Bronny. Get to that next. Don't move.
Oh, my gosh, there's so much going on in sports. Opening day, NCAA tournament, NBA playoff race, NHL playoffs. But we have to talk one-hit wonders. Maggie, the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket, it is getting heated. By the way, I just doing some math. We're a little behind. They're going to have the Final Four in basketball soon enough, and we are still in the round of 32. But yeah, has anyone figured out how we're going to catch up?
Well, it's going to take a lot of effort. So let's get it started. So EJ, this is the cruising region, the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders. These are now the results of who has punched their ticket to the Sweet 16?
Correct.
Okay, so these are the results as voted on by you. Who moves on to the Sweet 16 in the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders? Cruising region, let's do it. Number one seed in this region moves on. It's Take On Me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And maybe just to annoy Perloff, fourth seeded Don't You Forget About Me wins over Electric Avenue. Don't you forget about me.
I mean, it's a great song. That's why it's going to get voted ahead. But it's not a one-hit wonder. It's couple songs on here. I mean, you're discounting Chris Cross's second song, too? This is a crime, Maggie.
Do you realize the more frustrated you get by this, the more likely that it continues to move on?
And I do love,
by the way, winner will not actually be a one-hit wonder.
I do love the song.
It's a great song.
Yeah, I mean, all these songs make you happy. What's next?
Okay, next is moving on to the Maggie and Perloff region of bracket of one-hit wonders in the cruising region. 14 seed gets through to the Sweet 16. It's Video Killed the Radio. And finally, Major Cinderella in this region, 15 seed, Stacy's Mom to the Sweet 16. I just can't get over how stupid a band name is, Fountains of Wayne. It's such a dumb band name. Anyway, there you go. That's the songs who have punched their ticket to the Sweet 16 of the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket.
But the other bands in this bracket are the Buggles. It's not exactly great. Aha. The Norwegian band Aha. Simple Minds is kind of a pretty cool name, I guess.
I think part of being a one-hit wonder is you have to have a terrible band name.
Like Soft Cell or Tommy Two-Tone for 8675309.
That's
Cali
part of
Swag
it.
District.
Definitely no one can know the name of your band and to be a one-hit wonder. And then when they find out, then they have to be like, that's so dumb.
I've already forgotten half the names of this band. Who sang Funky Town? It was like Lips Incorporated or something?
Such a shame that Funky Town went out so early.
Closing Times.
It's the Kentucky of this tournament.
I have a question for you guys. I'm asking a lot of questions today. If you were a musician, would you rather have a one-hit wonder that is completely, utterly timeless, like a Gangnam Style? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather be a respected artist with a lot of albums, but you never had a hit?
Right. Your favorite artist.
Yes.
Right. That, like a respected musician, but never got a hit, or a one-hit wonder.
Yes.
How about you go sort of in between where you have a one-hit wonder like Simple Minds and Don't You Forget About Me, and then you have 8 other top 10 singles make tons of money.
This is not about arguing with the committee. It's a serious question here.
So here's why I would rather have the catalog of music and not the one-hit wonder. I bet a lot of these artists who have this one-hit wonder, they probably don't even own the rights to this music. So not only do they have to play it all the time, and they're basically a prisoner of this one song, I bet they don't even own it.
No. The one-hit wonder is terrible, because if you're playing in concert, there's so much pressure to play that song. Like, if you're the Baha Men, the first 10 songs, the audience is going to be so bored. They're like, please play Who Let the Dogs Out. But once you play it, what's the rest of the concert? Do you open with Who Let the Dogs Out? Do you close with Who Let the Dog Out? Do you do both? Play it in between? This is an impossible situation.
I think you play it twice. I think you're right. I think you play it or maybe like tease it a little when you're coming out and play like the first couple chords or something. And then you do your other stuff and then you close with it.
What if you're the Baja Man and you get out and we have some new stuff. I would just walk out. If the Baja Man, and are they other dog themed songs? What's going on here? No, I think it's hard to be a one hit wonder.
Who brought the dogs in?
Yeah, right.
Which would you rather
be? Who fed the dogs? Yeah, who groomed the dogs? Yeah.
Whose dog is this?
Woof Woof, the name of the album.
Featuring Snoop Dogg, the remix.
Snoop would do it because he has never turned down an appearance.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing that would upset, the thing where I'm curious about maybe being the one-hit wonder is because I feel like I keep seeing these people get invited to these random, like, Saudi Arabia parties or someone's wedding where this is their favorite song and they get paid $3 million for a night.
Mm.
Whereas if I'm that person who grinded all my career and I got a great catalog of music but no hits, and like,
so you're doing this so you could be Nelly at an insurance convention? Is that what's going on?
No, he's not a one-hit wonder. But,
he plays that circuit. No, he was at my friend's corporate event the other day.
I know. And a lot of those people, I know Vanilla Ice has definitely done that.
Yeah.
He's been in that presidential inauguration celebrations. Like, that's a thing. That's a market that, you know, even the respected artist who has great 10 great albums, they don't have that market. That's one night of work.
Yeah. I don't know if you're getting $3 million. I know that I think you can get like certain rap like fans for like $5,000. I don't think it's that much, but you're right. You could keep working just off of that one song, as opposed to having to still tour and travel around. And it's like, oh, now it's another night. I'm doing the Omaha, Iowa, you know, circuits, Midwest circuit. Then I do the Northeast circuit. I'm never home.
But the average, the non-one hit wonder also could play these events, I would imagine. But can we get Sir Mix-a-Lot? How much does he cost? That would be amazing. Assuming he's still with us.
I bet not a lot. Who did our boss Spike Eskin? Should we text him? Our boss Spike Eskin said for Wing Bowl one time in Philly, they got like, how did they?
I know. I remember this story. I was there for that.
Right. Who was it for $5,000?
Yeah.
It was.
But didn't they not show up or something? Or they got upset?
It was Coolio.
Okay.
Coolio.
Yeah, Coolio, who was, may he rest in peace, and also has more than one hit. He had Gangster Paradise, and he had Slide.
That's called two hits, but yes. more than one hit mean two.
And the Keenan Kel theme.
So he had a couple hits, and was $5,000.
Sir Mix-a-Lot is listed on Celebrity Talent International, his booking agent, $15,000 to $25,000
for a lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Okay, so
he's going to come in, he's probably going to do one song.
We're talking about the Maggie and Pearl bracket of one-hit wonders, which you can go to our Twitter handle at Maggie and Pearl and vote on who makes it through to the Sweet 16.
Big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
Number one seed in this tournament. And EJ's asking us, would you rather be a one-hit wonder or like a musician who has a big catalog of music but never any hits?
This page says that he has multiple hits. Now, it said Posse on Broadway, Put Him on the Glass, and the Grammy nominated Just a Pimpin' in Me. But now he's hosting a radio show in Fresno, California.
I think in Fresno.
I think we could get Sir Mix-a-Lot. He's on in Fresno.
You know, how about this? If he wins, maybe then we try to get him on if he's our champ.
Yeah, I think we have to. And I don't know if we have to pay $15,000. I don't think we have that in the budget necessarily.
Taking out a bogus check.
We might be able to.
It's our Sir Mix-a-Lot budget.
Yeah, we might have to go for Tommy Two Tone or somebody who's even. Sir Mix-a-Lot's iconic. I can't believe that dude never had another number one song. By the way, some of these guys, I thought there was. How can you write a song as good as 99 Luftballoons and not come up with a second song?
So, the crazy thing, too, about that, you mentioned it was a Grammy nominated song. What was it called? Pimpin'?
Pimpin' in the House.
Okay.
The House.
No, Just a Pimpin' in Me.
Oh, yeah.
Grammy nominated.
Also, you want to know what else is Grammy nominated? Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah.
Of course.
It's also a number one song.
What's up with the Grammys? Who Let the Dogs
Out? What did you think? Grammys was like the Rolling Stones critic list? No, Grammys is pop crap.
This goes back to my theory, committees suck.
You're right. Yeah. Also, the name of your 16th book.
That's right.
Now, Pete and I, after a Mets game,
Hi.
Saw Third Eye Blind. And I have
Semi-Charm Kind of Life?
Well, I have a really strong memory of them playing that song to start and to finish the set.
Yeah.
I know that song. It's on my playlist. I got into a 90s one.
Oh, how's it going to be?
Yeah, is that who it was?
No, Never Let You Go. It's Never Let You Go.
And Semi-Charm Kind of Life. I was right on both.
But I feel like they played the same song twice to start and close. It was like it was the song.
Never Let You Go.
To
it's got
to
be Never Let You Go.
Right.
No, but isn't there? Maybe I'm mixing up the band. Because
by the way, could have been Spin Doctors. It could have been
No. Is Jumper a song?
Sounds like yes. That sounds right.
Yes, Jumper is a song.
That's the one they played twice.
Right. Well, a lot of that concert was all of us razzing on them for playing a Mets game.
A Mets game. And us staying to watch them,
staying
too.
Staying to watch.
Not a good choice.
I was talking about staying at a game for a concert. I stayed at a Mets game, and that was Nas. So Nas is awesome. 102 degree heat.
Ooh.
Oof.
And the Mets were down 7-0 in the first inning.
I'm out of there in the first inning.
And me and my friend sat there for 9 innings and melted.
Oh.
My husband and I waited after a Mets game to see Lauryn Hill, and it took her an hour and 45 minutes.
You come back 3 days later? Really?
I was super pregnant too, and we were like, this is kind of like, all right, last hurrah stuff we're going to do before the baby comes. And was so pregnant, and we were just sitting there waiting for her. And the concessions are closed at that point.
Right.
You do not want a pregnant woman at night in a baseball stadium with no food available.
It was your
funeral almost, Lauryn Hill.
I saw a big concert last year at a game. DJ Jazzy Jeff played halftime of the Eagles game.
Well, he's a Philadelphia legend, right?
Yeah, but
right.
I got to tell you, not a single human being stayed in their seat for a DJ. First of all, he's a DJ. So right. He didn't sing. He didn't do anything.
And you're missing the best part of the group.
Yeah. I know you like this.
He can be on your podcast.
I know you like second guys, but I love DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Wants a podcast of only the second guy in the band. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I there's not much to a DJ Jazzy Jeff concert. I mean, there's not a lot going on there.
I think that's crazy. I went to see Jay-Z and Beyonce, and the opener was DJ Khaled, who doesn't DJ or rap or sing. So he's just saying, play this song, and him just going, yeah. Yeah. That was it for the first 45 minutes. Or, I need to find a famous friend. Fabulous. Come out here and do your song. That's not even my song.
Do we ask him? He's in the break room right now doing a minor concert. DJ Khaled shows up everywhere. You talk about a guy who's cloned. I mean, how many all-star events can one human being do in a lifetime?
It's more than Steph Curry.
By the way, maybe the worst basketball player I've ever seen is DJ
Khaled. Who's looking at DJ Khaled?
What's your problem with DJ Khaled?
He plays a lot of basketballs for some reason. These clips keep going viral.
What were we talking about? One-hit wonders and how much they would cost to book them?
Right.
All right. Bogus has headlines.
And maybe this makes sense somewhere in the multiverse. USC men's basketball coach Andy Enfield is apparently close to leaving for the SMU job, which would mean no more coaching Bronny, assuming he doesn't leave for the NBA. Now, SMU, the Mustangs, they're rich. Dallas, a good recruiting area. They're moving to the ACC, but it's not USC or the Big Ten. Also surprising to me, at least, Enfield's had that job for 11 years. That's how long ago Dunk City was?
I know.
Is that probably a one-hit wonder?
Dunk City?
One-hit wonder of basketball teams? Sports teams?
No, we should do that for a great debate.
Yeah.
Wait, Andy Enfield's the one with the wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I remember him for.
I have no idea.
Dunking?
Not Dunk City? It would be Georgetown? Georgetown in the first round?
No, we, at Dan Patrick's show, we spent a lot of time
on Andy
Enfield's wife. Yes.
On his wife sounds different. Talking about his wife.
That was the story of that tournament, yes.
Wait, what was it? They did the song with Dunk City. Rack City?
Rack City, yeah.
Yeah. That's
not Dunk City,
It's not Dunk City, sorry. Back to you, folks.
No idea if LeBron is sad to see Enfield go, but he will not be missing college basketball in general, no matter who's coaching.
It is hard watching a 40-minute college basketball game. It's hard. I get more anxiety and I sweat more watching college basketball, especially my son now, than I've ever done in my life.
Now, watching my son play baseball is the most stressful thing I go through. I thought that's what LBJ meant here, but he dislikes college basketball for the basketball.
Coach will throw the ball into a post to his big that has no business with the ball in the post.
And yes, those clips are from Pete's favorite podcast.
Oh, my God. LeBron, even that was pretentious.
Cracking up a Pierre Loire.
Oh, God. Even too... 30 seconds of that makes me want to vomit.
Agree.
Because I drank too much wine.
Was he talking about USC's coach?
Well, he's talking about coaches. So, I mean, it could have been how I don't know if USC threw the ball to an inept post player, but he could have been talking about him.
So probably.
Yeah, right.
How about that? LeBron not want to watch and play regular season basketball. How about that?
Well, Pete, he did play last night, by the way, and he had 23 more points, 14 more rebounds, and 12 more assists than you had.
All right.
And the Lakers won in Memphis, 136-124. They've won 5 in a row. They remain 9th out west, but just 2.5 games behind the Mavs for 6.
Is LeBron going to get a rest day now that they had that great game?
Week. Anthony Davis didn't play last night after playing 52 minutes. Yeah. And LeBron did say they have to prioritize their rest over seeding.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, more days off are coming.
Yeah. But I totally agree. One thing, going back, it's way more stressful watching your kids perform than performing.
Yes.
I had to watch a play last night, and I was dying. It's terrible.
Your daughter was in it.
My daughter was in it. Maggie, trust me, when your son becomes an athlete, there's nothing worse than watching your kids strike out or something. Oh, painful.
Timmy is 3 years old, and he first played soccer this past summer. Just watching him kind of practice and play around with the soccer ball, I go stressed.
Yeah, and we don't have Bronny as kids. Our kids are not dunking on anybody.
Right.
Because you feel so bad. You can't do anything about it. It's like, as a former bad amateur athlete, at least I could try to play.
Right.
You can't do anything to watch your kids suffer. So I guarantee LeBron is not joking about that. Watching Bronny must be torture for him. It's way more stressful because, I mean, LeBron himself can go out there and dunk on someone's head. He can't do anything for Bronny.
So how's he going to handle that stress when they're playing together on the court when LeBron forces the Lakers to draft Bronny?
I think he's going to feel better because at least he can pass the ball to Bronny. You know, he can do something about it.
So, again, this is more about LeBron than it is about Bronny.
You know what I'll say as well? Now, and I agree with Perloff that I think he'll be better. He'll feel better because Bronny will be in the court with him. I also think that LeBron will take his first suspension in the NBA, probably for his career, for something that happens on the court with Bronny.
Oh, yeah.
He has to stick up for him.
Someone's going to step
in. He's going to actually throw an elbow or actually he's going to get suspended.
Yeah, this is going to end great. Back to you.
The Suns won in Denver for the second time this month, 104-97. The Warriors won in Orlando, 101-93, despite Draymond getting tossed in less than 4 minutes. The Rocket win streak is 10 after a 132-126 OT win in OKC. And the Sixers are bad enough on their own. They don't need the ref's help.
Leonard and Oubre set the jump. The ball is up. Leonard wins it. Batum taps it to Hield at half court with two. Right wing Oubre. He drives. He didn't get off in time. That's going to do it. The Clippers survive in Philadelphia.
What you don't hear on Clippers radio is Paul George colliding on that final play with Kelly Oubre.
There was absolute contact, but they were calling those calls for those guys. And, you know, they were getting and-ones, and they were changing the game in that aspect. And then we get down to our side, and it's like they didn't even see any contact.
Oubre and head coach Nick Nurse argued with the officials on the court post-game. Those officials then left the court, turned on their TVs, and admitted that they should have called a foul, giving Oubre two free throws with a chance to win the game. Instead, the Sixers lose harumph 108-107.
Great clip afterwards. Kelly Oubre, who is a character, says, "You're a bleep, you're a bleep, you're a bleep." It just systematically calls out everyone. And Nick Nurse has to be held back from punching the guy. I was like, let him go. Let him hit the ref. The Sixers need something. Mix it up. By the way, even I'm going to admit, it was probably a foul that you were referencing.
Yes.
It wasn't so egregious. He didn't, you know, it was a very close call that they swallowed the whistle on. The Sixers suck.
Wait, aren't you burying the big Sixers news from yesterday?
What's that?
That Joel Embiid's coming back.
Maybe during the regular season.
Yeah, he's going to come back. They said, what, for a handful of games. Isn't that what Woj said? This is like what you've been waiting for. Joel Embiid comes back right in time for the playoffs.
Three playoff games? This team is terrible.
What if he plays well?
Well, actually, it won't be the playoff. It'll be the play-in.
Yeah, play-in, whatever.
There's no chance.
Wait, what are the standings right now? Where are the Sixers?
I think they're still six, right?
I think they're lower than that. I think they're eighth.
Standby, eighth.
Yep. Oh, wow, my bad.
Yeah, but they have a pretty good lead, I see, on the eight. So they'll be in the play-in. I honestly don't even think they get out of the play-in.
So you think they lose the first game to the Heat or Pacers and then lose to the Bulls or Hawks?
Yes, I think the Sixers are terrible.
What if Embiid is playing?
It's going to be hard for the Hawks to figure that one out. Yeah. But,
that would be remarkable.
The Hawks and Bulls, they should name that first play-in game after them. The Hawks and the Bulls annual play-in game.
But again, that's the reason why there shouldn't be in a play-in. Like, those teams don't need to have that game, but then the West is ridiculous.
There needs to be, I think there should be a qualifying. Like, if you're eighth and you're, in this case, I think the perfect number, if you're four games up on the ninth seed, you're in. Like,
oh, we don't do the play-in
set a number.
If it's a certain number?
Yeah, set a number.
Like a mercy rule?
Yeah, set a number where it's like, you know what, this team is clearly not, they haven't done it in the regular season. They don't deserve the shot to play their way in.
Well, if you're going to set a rule, why not mix up the conferences? Now it's time to put the 11 contenders in the West. Put Kevin Durant in the East for us, just for entertainment purposes. I mean, they have no chance. They're going to be in the play-in tournament, too. This is a weird debate. By the way, Maggie, you disagree with me? You think the Sixers and Embiid is going to be like Willis Reed, come back and make any difference?
No. I just am telling you that you guys buried the big Sixers news from yesterday. Who cares that Kelly Oubre, was he fouled, was he not fouled? I mean, Joel Embiid's coming back.
That clip, though, was hilarious.
Well, him, Oubre, I know, afterwards he said, he goes, I feel bad because, like, I'm a man of God. I don't like to, do that because I should act classy.
What he means by that is I'm a man of losing $15,000 into my next fine.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, we have Perloff's favorite NFL draft rumor of the day. We get to that next. Don't move. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Got NCAA tournament games tonight, but we have to get to Perloff's favorite NFL draft rumor of the day.
So So LSU, a lot of attention on quarterback Jaden Daniels. Did anybody see the video of wide receiver Malik Nabers running a 40?
Oh, did we?
It is like a lightning bolt on a grass field. 4.35 was the official time, and he's being compared to a sort of a different kind of wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State is the next Calvin Johnson. But Malik Nabers looks like the spitting image to me of Ja'Marr Chase. This guy is going to be a superstar, so there's all this talk that he'll be the first receiver coming off the board, which is funny because Marvin Harrison Jr. has been that guy forever. I kind of get it now. I heard a Tyreek Hill comparison the other day. I'm starting to sway, Maggie. I'm a big Marvin Harrison fan. I'm starting to sway. If you tell me this guy's going to be Tyreek Hill but a little bigger than Tyreek Hill, then I'll take that. I'll put Tyreek Hill, too, on my team.
You realize what's happening, though. This is all happening because Marvin Harrison Jr. is not doing anything, right? He's not running the 40. He's not doing any of the combine stuff, and he's not doing any of the pro day stuff. So this is only because Malik Nabers is doing all this stuff. If Harrison was still participating, don't you think he's still one?
I don't know. I don't think teams really care about the pro day. And they obviously had a huge grade on Malik Nabers. There were reports that a lot of NFL draft writers were saying that teams like Nabers more than Chase. That it's split right down. I'm not Chase, more than Harrison.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of style. So I'll give you a question, GM Maggie Gray.
Yep.
I'll give you Calvin Johnson, big guy who is a possession receiver but can also go deep, Marvin Harrison Jr. Or I will give you Tyreek Hill.
Oh, I want both.
Who's really the more effective receiver? It's a tougher question than you might think. It's pretty close.
Yeah, that is a really great question. Maybe that should be a poll while I buy time here. Calvin Johnson or Tyreek Hill, who would you rather have?
The peak of their powers. Because maybe that's what you have in this year's draft.
Here's what I want. I was just about to say I want a Calvin Johnson because if I have a young receiver, it's like idiot proof, you know, throw the ball up. He's going to get it. But at the same time, Tyreek Hill is also great for young receivers because you just throw him the ball 10 yards and he's going to take it to the house.
Yeah. And also, I think there is a trend towards smaller receivers. You still have Devontae Adams and some Giants floating around, but you get Garrett Wilson and Tyreek Hill and Devontae Smith in Philly. You can be 5'11", 6 feet tall and weigh 175 pounds and be really effective in today's NFL.
Okay. You hit me with a question. I wasn't ready for it, but that's okay. I love it. And I have an answer for you.
Yeah.
I want Calvin Johnson. I want the big receiver because I also want a big receiver for the red zone. And that's a better target in the red zone than a smaller receiver. When things get real bunched up and the defense starts to get to an advantage, ironically, because you're so close to the end zones, sidelines rather, and there's not a lot of room and space, I'd rather have Calvin Johnson. Mm. There you go. That's my answer.
It's a good
final answer.
It's a good answer. I don't know if that applies, though, anymore in the way the game is today. I love Calvin Johnson. Is probably my most fun player to watch. Could beat a double handle, seeing a hand. I mean, is Tyreek Hill gets a ton of touchdowns as well. I know he gets them differently.
I was going to say it's different. So here's the question.
Yeah.
We were talking before about how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, and you and EJ have a big bet on how many QBs, more or less than 4.5. Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, do you still think there's a shot Nabers goes over Harrison?
Definitely.
Okay. And where do you think this is? Because if we're thinking now it's going to go quarterback, 1 Chicago, 2 Washington, we still think 3 New England, and then whoever trades with the Arizona Cardinals who have a blinking for sale sign outside of their building pick.
If there is a trade, that would be quarterback. So first time ever, 1, 2, 3, 4.
So it's going to be Chargers?
So you have the Chargers.
The Chargers and the Giants could both use receivers.
Yeah, but the Chargers could trade down because they have a lot of holes to fill. And Jim Harbaugh has already admitted that there is a sense of rebuilding. Harbaugh had a quote the other day at the owners' meeting. He said, rebuilding teams need offensive line. Teams that are there need skilled guys. So I think maybe they trade out. Listen, I think there's a chance that it'd be Nabers. I would think the Chargers would go with Marvin Harrison Jr. Obviously, that'd be really exciting. I think there's no guarantee here. I think it's going to be a real close call. The Giants,
trending quarterback, but that could be.
I don't know. Giants, smaller LSU receiver, gives me some Odell vibes. I think there's going to be interest in Nabers there. Oh, you're right. I assumed that the quarterback would not be there for the Giants. It's a possibility. Hey, they could use. When's the last time there, besides Odell? It's not a team that ever has a big-time receiver. I think it's similar to the quarterbacks. There is a real 1A and a 1B here, and both guys are going to be instant instant stars. And then you got Roma Dunze as a third. It's a really good list.
All those wide receivers going top 10?
Oh, heck yeah. Neighbors, Harris are going 5-6 or 6-7 back-to-back. It's going to happen. That 40 yesterday was comical. I mean, how does anyone run that? Imagine covering this guy, Maggie. It's incredible to me. And LSU has such a rich history of successful wide receivers. Obviously, Chase and Jefferson most recently. I'm into this. I'm into this guy. I love him.
This is the Andrew Perloff NFL draft rumor of the day. Quickly, because we do have NCAA tournament games tonight. Have we fully decided what we're doing about King for a Day? Whoever gets the most games correctly, picked the most games correctly today, are we going to do the weekend and you get King for a Day Monday? Or are we doing King for a Day tomorrow? We got to make a decision right now
it
on the
be,
air.
I think weekend and get do it for Monday.
Okay.
It's my opinion.
Are we all good on that? So we'll do Raising Cane's tomorrow and then we'll do King for a Day on Monday.
That's fine.
So whoever's leading the bracket, the Maggie and Perloff bracket on Monday, damn. This is not going to be me.
You already got to be king for a day.
I know. But I'm actually in sixth place overall now. But you know that feeling when you know that you are about to fall back really badly in your bracket? Is there anything worse?
Slide is about to come.
I got to tell you that Auburn losing in the first round ruined my whole weekend. I was moody around the house. I don't know why. I get really...
Watched how many minutes of Auburn basketball did you watch?
I saw a lot. I watched a lot of them. That's why I was into them. They gave my guy Dalton Connect a hard time.
Oh, right.
Bruce Pearl had a lot of angry, intense quotes on the sideline. I thought this was the year. The truth is, I need San Diego State to win, so UConn does not advance because that's where most people have. And you got North Carolina. If North Carolina goes on a run, then I think you might win. At least you'll be top one, two, or three. So go Alabama.
Man, if I win King for a Day, you guys are all in big trouble.
Can't wait.
You are going to eat things that you never thought possible.
I'm up for that.
Bizarre things, like things that dwell at the bottom of the ocean.
That's not happening. No chance.
I'll do it. I like eating challenges. I'm in.
I'm not going to let you do it. Do you love bizarre food? Perloff's like ostrich.
Things at the bottom of the ocean. That's where the most delicious things live. Lobsters.
Like, I'll eat a whole alligator. I don't care. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Pete Pilotti, Andrew Kaplan, Andrew Bogish, Widow's Coffee Drinkers. Enjoy more college hoops tonight. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.